This is Orbital Nonsense,
a podcast about space magic.
I'm Lily, a witch and an astrologer.
And I'm Veda. I'm just here to ask stupid questions.
Hello. Welcome to Orbital Nonsense. Veda, how are you?
I'm good. I've got stupid questions at the ready.
Great. Awesome. Okay. Do you want to dive right in, or do you have anything else to tell the audience?
I don't think I have anything to tell the audience. Some of these questions will require like a little bit of background, but I can just do that as we go.
Okay.
Then you won't be tipped off.
Okay.
Questions are ahead of time.
Yeah, right. Because again, I don't know these questions. I don't know what you're about to ask me. I have no clue whatsoever. So, do you want to start with the first one?
Yeah. Okay. So my first one is about myself. Mm-hmm. But so I have, as you know, because you're basically my best friend, I have like a really kind of weird to the outward person relationship with music. And that is that I deeply love and am affected by the music that I love.
Mm-hmm.
I have worked in music.
Mm-hmm.
I, you know, for a long time, like not, I haven't done so for a long time, but I did for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And I fucking hate nothing more than talking about music or being around musicians.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So, and that is to the point that I would never consider living with or even dating somebody who had like a sometimes hobbyist music
mm-hmm.
habit. Like, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to like, your spouse is going to hear this because they do our audio, but
yes. They know though, so
I know
it's
that.
Fine.
But I would like never willingly put myself in a room with somebody playing guitar, like terrible,
yeah.
Right? I hate that.
Yep.
So my question is kind of about that, and if you can like see that in my chart, like the dual nature of that in my chart.
Okay. Let's see. Hang on. Let me share my screen. Okay. So,
real quick.
Yeah.
I'm kind of curious if it'll have something to do with something that's influenced by Gemini, because it's such like a I really love this. Please do not fucking make me talk about it.
It could be. So, so Gemini is up here, is your ninth house, or most of your ninth house.
Mm-hmm.
And the ninth house is like our worldviews, our beliefs, our religions. It's also higher education, travel, other like cultures and that type of thing, right?
Yeah.
So yes, it is like vaguely related maybe to the fact that that is actually empty.
Okay.
In your case, which doesn't mean that those aspects are not in your life. Like a house being empty doesn't mean that you don't have that in your life. You do. It's just not super prominent. It might not be super important. It might not be it might not be super changing throughout your life too, because if we have planets in a house, you know, they have an effect on the course of our life in that area of our life, right? And you
Right.
not having any planets in there, it just means it's more stable than it is for other people.
That doesn't sound particularly like that house doesn't sound particularly musicy though.
No. So the thing I would look at when it comes to music is Venus, because Venus is art. And if we click on her here, so Venus is in your eighth house in Taurus. She is conjunct Vesta, which we talked about last episode. This is a very gay place. But also, so the first thing that jumps out at me with Venus is that she's opposite Uranus. And Uranus is the rebel planet, the one that wants to do things in a way no one else does. He always wants to do things differently, and he wants to rebel. He wants to. It's funny because Uranus, the actual planet, is literally the only planet that does not spin around a vertical axis. Uranus spins around an almost horizontal axis.
Oh, okay. I didn't know
So,
that. Interesting.
which is, I enjoy that fact immensely. So, I always have to talk about when I talk about Uranus. Uranus is literally the rebel. Uranus does things differently than all the other planets. So, you do art differently than all the other. Than everyone else, right? So this doesn't necessarily say exactly that, like the way you feel about music, it's not exactly in there, but it's sort of in there because, a lot of people really love music. A lot of people really are into musicians and want to know about their lives and like are really interested in all the gossip about that. And you are the exact opposite of that. Because like Venus up here is like, yeah, I love art and like all art, not just music, but art in general. Art is a really important aspect. And with Venus being in Taurus, which is literally her home sign, she Venus rules Taurus, so she is really happy there. So you are an artist. You enjoy art. You enjoy sensual things, right? So not just art that you can see or hear, it's also like Tauruses are huge foodies. You enjoy food, you enjoy tasting things that are, pleasurable. But with this opposition with Uranus right here, Uranus is like, yeah, but not in the way other people do it. And that is a quite important thing because Uranus is in your second house of resources, which is also in Scorpio. So Scorpio is also a little bit of a rebel sign. So that makes sense. Like that just emphasizes the whole Uranus vibe. Of wanting to do things differently and wanting to rebel. So, yeah, it's sort of in there. Does that answer your question or do you want more detail?
It does kind of. There's another aspect to this that I just know about myself because I'm really self-aware. So based just on like self-awareness, I know that some of this is trauma-based. And that is down to probably most notably, and I'm sure this will come up on the podcast in different points. But I had a very abusive mother. She's a narcissist. We're very happily no contact, or at least I'm happily no contact with her, have
She's
been for
probably not
a
happily,
long
no
time.
contact.
I mean, who knows, but that's fine. I wish her well, but never near me again.
Valid.
And that's kind of what's going on there. But she is a musician. Now, also, I've had other traumatic relationships. Like, I'm also in no contact with my brother, who is a musician. And like, I've had a lot of traumatic relationships with people that were musicians. So there probably is some, like, I don't know. So I don't know if it shows that.
I mean, trauma is also in your eighth house. So trauma is Chiron. Chiron is an asteroid. And yeah, Chiron is the wounded healer. So they aren't in an aspect, Venus and Chiron, in your chart, but they are in the same sign and in the same house. So they still have a little bit of an influence on each other, right? Just because they live in the same neighborhood, right? So they're not, they might not be talking directly, but they will talk with like other neighbors. So like oh yes, they are somewhat talking. They live in the same neighborhood. They are in Taurus, and Taurus is a very artsy planet because Taurus is ruled by Venus, right? So yeah, that can have an effect. Like, if I didn't know you and you were like a client or whatever, and like that is not something I would tell you, like this is not something that I would look at and go like, oh, you probably don't like musicians. No. But what I would see is that there is a possibility of some kind of trauma related to either art or femininity, which, might be in there. So yeah, and then through a conversation, I would probably be able to pinpoint to that. Yeah.
It's interesting because it's one of those things where I was like, oh, she might not be able to see this at all.
No, like I said, like I wouldn't be able to like, if I didn't know you, I wouldn't be able to see it. Like that is too specific to the person you are and to the life you have lived.
Well, who's a deity of music that has a asteroid?
Oh, let me think.
Apollo?
Apollo could be one, yeah.
I'm sure Apollo has an asteroid. I feel like we
Apollo definitely has one. Also Orpheus could have one, not technically a deity, but
A figure from that time.
so let's just see for the fun of it where Apollo is. Okay, so if we bring in the asteroids, which I like to do. Oh, and also my husband B made me aware that I might want to explain what the asteroids are for people that are not that knowledgeable in astrology, because my husband B is not knowledgeable in astrology at all, and they listened to our first episode and they were like, you sort of explain it, but I don't really understand what's going on there. So can you? So just very briefly, obviously we have the main planets in astrology that we use in charts, which are like the luminaries, the sun and the moon, and then the depending on what you're using, up to 10 all in all regular planets that most astrologers use. And then there's I think there's four asteroids that only some astrologers use. That is Vesta, Juno, brain farting,
Alice.
Pallas Athena, thank you, and Chiron. I love using them. I always use those specific asteroids. They just add a little bit more detail and also a little bit more femininity, to be quite honest, because three of those four are considered female, or they are at least named after female mythological creatures or figures. So, where most of the planets are considered male, I feel like it's nice to bring some female characters into a chart and also more nuance. And I love using them. But we have a lot more asteroids in our area of space. Here, a lot of them are named. There's roughly 10,000 of them. Obviously, we can't always put all of them in a chart.
20. There's 20,000 of
20,000. Okay,
them.
yeah, see, I'm bad with numbers. So there's a lot, is my point. And obviously, we can't put all of them all the time in a chart because you couldn't see anything in a chart. But sometimes, when you have these types of very specific questions that my friend likes to ask, it's fun to see, is there either a creature or a figure from mythology that would fit to the theme of that question, or is there even a very specific theme? Like, there's asteroids that are called money, for example, and we've played around with those in the past. So
Oh,
it's
I one time had a whole like mental breakdown, and I was like, I have found like 30 asteroids that are related to money and finances. I have looked them all up. Here are all of them. Tell me why everything's terrible. And they're almost all poorly placed in my chart.
Yeah, I had to be like, yeah, I'm sorry to tell you, babe, but you're never gonna get wealthy.
Yeah, I had like silver, like the lesser financial ones were like okay, but like none of the ones that you really want to have like lovely placements, none of they were all like opposed to things and
So, two more things about asteroids. One, I feel like it's important to say, obviously, there's very little to none, no research about these. So all of this is always to be taken with a grain of salt, because we just don't have, I couldn't prove any of the shit I'm saying when it comes to asteroids, because, because there's so many, and it will take probably a couple more decades to actually start seeing any correlations
but we have
with.
found a lot of like circumstantial evidence. So
Circumstance, yeah. Okay.
we have found lots of circumstantial evidence
Yeah.
of things like the Taco asteroid,
Yes,
you
true.
know, that do like
Yeah.
obvious effects and make sense when you look at the placements of them.
Yeah. And if you don't take yourself super seriously as we do, then it's just fun to play around with those things. And sometimes you can discover things that are surprisingly profound. So, yeah, so that is what I like to do, especially with you, Veda, because you ask these very specific questions, and I explained how, yes, I can technically see the answer to that question in your chart, but obviously it's not a very precise thing because Venus is one of the general planets. Venus represents a lot of things, right? So
Well,
does
plus,
Uranus. So,
art is such a broad category as well. So, like,
yes,
and I have
exactly.
different relationships with different kinds of art.
Yeah, exactly.
Wildly different. So,
Exactly. So this is where we bring in some asteroids. So that is the wrong one. Of course, I clicked on the wrong one first. Okay. So the first one we have is Apollo. And Apollo is a deity that is related to music. So yeah, let's see. Oh, okay, so first of all,
That's
he's
what I was like, he's opposed to Mercury.
yeah, he's literally in opposition with Mercury. So yeah, that does sort of say, yeah, I don't really want to talk about those things.
Because
Like,
Mercury is
I don't.
about communication, so it's like,
Yes, Mercury represents all kinds of communication that can be talking, but it can also be writing, texting, any form of communication, even body language is under Mercury's rule. So yeah, and Apollo being in opposition with Mercury, it's like, yeah, no, I'm not interested in that. Then also, sorry.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah, that is funny. But it gets better. I don't know if you saw these things, but I see two more things. So there's this trine here to your Chiron in the eighth house, which we
Oh.
mentioned is about trauma. So there is the communication of your trauma and music. It's
Right.
there it is, right? So yeah,
Okay.
no, that traumatized me. I don't wanna. And it's specifically funny because your Chiron is conjunct Ceres in your eighth house, and Ceres could represent your mother.
Oh, well, I mean, she was responsible for a lot of my trauma, so like.
So again, this would not necessarily be something that I would see right away if I didn't know you, but because I know you and I know your relationship with your mother, Ceres is Demeter. For those of you who know about Greek mythology, Demeter is Persephone's mother, and she lost her mother and decided to let the world starve because her daughter was sort of kidnapped, although that's debatable nowadays. But so she lost her daughter, so she let the world starve. So she was the fertility goddess, and she decided, if I don't get my daughter back, I will let the earth die and all the plants die until I get my daughter back. So that is very fitting to your history with your mother, and that being right next to Chiron, that is your trauma,
Yeah,
right?
she's also a really controlling mother, correct?
Yes, she is. Yeah.
So, ding, ding, ding. That was my favorite, like, favorite
Yeah.
thing ever was just to be massively manipulative. So,
Yeah.
that's funny.
No hate, by the way, to Demeter. I actually like Demeter as a deity, but she does have those aspects. Deities are complicated. They all of them have very toxic qualities to them, and also very nice qualities. So it's they're complicated, as are humans. So, which is why they're fun. But yeah, so that is that kind of quality that obviously shows up in your chart, right? And that is your trauma, and that is connected through this trine to, among other things, music.
Sure.
And then the second thing is, Apollo has another opposition to your south node down in your fifth house.
Okay, I know very little about South Nodes, and I know I never remember anything about that house, so.
Of course, we've mentioned that before. So the south node is basically past life stuff and the things you are supposed to heal and grow past, like leave behind. So
Right.
that is that w those things were important in your past life, but you've dealt with them and you're not supposed to bring them into this life, right? That is south node stuff. Your fifth house is the house of fun and games.
No.
So, you could also, to a certain degree, place music in there. Because like fifth house stuff is like partying, and also to a certain degree could be gossip,
Right.
right? It's all the things that that you do that don't really have a purpose, right? Ex
Sure.
except for being fun,
Yeah.
right? So yeah, that being an opposition to literally the god of music is like,
Sure.
yeah, no, I left that behind. That is like, I don't need this in
Yeah.
this life. This is no thank you.
Pretty funny. Okay,
Right?
that makes sense.
So, and then we also pulled in Orpheus. I think this is, yes. Okay.
Okay.
So Orpheus is not a deity, but a figure also of Greek mythology. He was a very famous musician from Greek mythology. There's more to his story, but I'm not gonna dive into the whole thing. You can Google it if you're interested. But
He tried to save his wife from the underworld.
yes, and was too stupid to actually do it because he's a man. Sorry. But yeah, but the important part for this right now is he was like the most famous musician from Greek mythology, and look what we have here. He has a sextile to your Chiron. So for those of you who are just listening to the audio, Orpheus is in my friend's sixth house, in Pisces, right next to Mercury, actually. So
So they're conjunct.
they are conjunct, yes.
So is that why in my earlier, I mean not only in my earlier life, but all the time that I spent like working in punk rock and like doing all of that stuff, like I was like really trying like to do, I was never a musician. I should just open
Yeah.
that, but I worked in and around it for a long time. Is that why I was like, let's try this out? And then I was just like, fuck all of you, get away from me.
Yes, because
Okay.
the sixth house is also the house of work. So your
Oh,
house of everyday work.
I
So yeah, that is, yeah,
even
that is so
remember
funny that Orpheus would be in there because yeah, you worked in music and with
Yeah.
musicians. But also Orpheus has a sextile up to Chiron in your eighth.
Sure.
So again, the trauma is gets pulled in there and like probably made things harder. And also there's a trine to Uranus again in your second house. So it's again doing things differently. And like yeah, this was something that probably interested you for a while, but also, you didn't want to do like you didn't become a musician yourself,
I never wanted to be a musician.
right? So
I mean,
you were around that.
I had a band technically for about 25 minutes, but it was
Yeah,
mostly had to do with whiskey more than anything else.
old were
Yeah.
you?
I was 23. It was
Oh yeah. Okay.
a Riot Girl band. I mean, it was. I was super drunk.
Didn't we all like kind of have a band when we were that age?
Yeah, we recorded like three songs, and Jim took those with him to his grave. I haven't like he literally stole the recording when he
Oh
moved
my God.
out, and then died. Nobody ever.
Cool, great.
So
Thanks.
he's one of my many like he died much later. He didn't die because of the recording or anything.
The recordings killed him. Oh
but we didn't find it in his things either. So like who knows? Yeah.
it's a mystery.
There's mystery there. But
Yeah.
that was also kind of about a pretty girl as well. So
Of course. Of course it was. I'm not surprised. But yeah, so Yeah, so you didn't do that kind of stuff like other people did because of Uranus over here. And
Right.
then also there's a whole new one in opposition to Saturn in your 12th house.
Right.
So Saturn is the planet of restrictions, limitations, boundaries, trials, things that are hard and strict and rough. So that probably never was really fun for you working in that industry.
No.
And there's a reason why
Yeah.
you're not doing it anymore, because that was literally something you had to overcome.
Yeah, I won't even like look at it fucking sideways now. I'm just like, get away from me. I'm not even gonna have a conversation with you about it for like 5 minutes. Like, absolutely not.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay,
So,
great.
does
Now,
this answer your question?
yeah, it does.
Great.
It does.
Awesome.
I think that the most interesting part of that was actually the Orpheus
Yeah.
part.
Yeah, great.
So, I mean, I think both the asteroids that we looked at had like kind of like the most obvious things to say. And I was really happy to hear both of them, but I think Orpheus was like, oh, here is all of the shit. So, very
Yeah.
interesting. Okay.
It's so funny to me that he's actually in your sixth house.
It tracks. It
That
totally.
is one of those moments where I really like astrology, because sometimes it's very vague and you have to search for things and it's really hard to see things. And then some things are just so in your face and just and so obvious.
Yeah.
I love it.
Well, the next thing that I have is completely different.
Okay, hit me.
So, there's a little bit of background on this as well as to like
Okay.
why I picked the person that I'm basing this question off of.
Okay.
So the background on this is so mediumship is my jam. You do some mediumship. You do some fantastic mediumship. Neither of us do it for a living. We don't do it professionally. I've been in development for a really long time. You've just been practicing for
It's a
a decent
hobby.
amount of time. Now it's a
Yeah,
hobby.
but like I never wanted to do it professionally. It's literally just a hobby.
Correct. So I'm saying correct, like you need me to
Yeah. Thank
on
you for
that. That is
that
not what I meant at all.
validation.
But one of the things that you do really well and fully accidentally is trance mediumship.
Yeah.
This is gonna be important in a minute.
Okay.
So, because I have so many dead friends and partners, we have done a lot, and I am your main practice partner for mediumship. I'm not your only practice partner, but I am your main practice partner.
Yeah.
So, we've done all sorts of things with trance mediumship, and one of the funniest things that we've done is we brought Chris back from the dead and forced him to talk about Twilight,
Right, yes.
right?
Okay.
And we weren't just doing
It
that to torture him, although it did kind of torture him, which I thought
was hilarious.
was really funny. But it was based on this kind of like esoteric like thought experiment about how inspiration all comes from a place where there's like in some realm that story is true and it's really happening. And so like maybe all inspiration is channeling, but some people like know that they're channeling, and then other people are just like, that's just inspiration. However, and so like we were having this conversation and we made him do it framed around the Twilight films because that would annoy him the most, and I am that kind of friend. So
And I am too.
because of that, this question is about Edward Cullen,
Okay.
whose birth info I do indeed have.
Okay.
So I want to look at his chart and see if we can see astrologically his death and his like reborn rebirth as like an undead fucking vampire teenage heartthrob. And also so I do know kind of when he was turned, like apparently there's not like a date on that, but there is like a year and a season. So I can do that. And then also he like went in a rebellion at a certain time and like went and hunted humans and then he like came back and bit. So I had to like look this all up so that we could do this. And one thing that I don't know if there's any like vampire asteroids, but I do know because I wasn't even looking for it and it told me this that apparently Robert Pattinson has an asteroid named after him. So
Really?
there's an asteroid called Pattinson. So we can also see where that is in Edward's chart.
Okay.
Ta-da!
First of all, I appreciate the work you put into
Oh yeah, I mean
this.
I will go the extra mile to annoy my friends, like.
Awesome. I want to make sure to state that I also I mean, I enjoy torturing Chris with Twilight, but also I'm with Chris. I'm also annoyed by Twilight. So I extra appreciate this question and the work you put in. Okay,
Yeah.
so basically, I'm gonna share my screen again, but also, you can give me the birth info, and we're gonna have a super small cut in here, and then we'll come back when I typed everything in.
Okay.
Okay, so we're back, I guess. So this. I will leave this open for those of you who are watching the video version of this on YouTube if you're interested in Edward Collins' birth data. It is up on the screen right now.
You should explain a little bit about how we rectified it.
Yes, I will.
Okay.
So this is the rectified version because we do not have a birth time. So we just spend a good 15 minutes-ish, maybe. Figuring out which birth time makes sense for him, and we've settled on 10 a.m. in the morning. Here's just a few very brief reasons why. First of all, it puts Pluto up in his 10th house. Pluto is the planet of death, among other things. And for someone who died young and then became a vampire, having the planet of death in the 10th house of life, purpose, and growth just makes sense.
He got death, I got tacos.
Yes. It also puts Chiron in his 4th house. Chiron, again, is the wounded healer, the asteroid of trauma, and how we heal from that. And Edward Cullen, as I w was just told by Veda, because I don't know that shit.
I looked it all up today.
yes. Again, I appreciate the work you have done and put into this. So Edward Cullen apparently lost his mother early. The fourth house, among other things, is the house of the mother. And
He didn't lose her early. He
oh, well, he died and.
she died shortly before him. They all
Yeah.
died of the flu in
Yeah.
the
Yeah.
1918 pandemic.
Yeah. So there's trauma related to the mother. And that so it would make sense that he would have Charon in the fourth. Also, he would be a Virgo ascendant. So the ascendant is the most important thing, I guess. You can only tell if you know someone's time of birth, because the ascendant changes roughly every 2 hours. So Edward Cullen being a Virgo ascendant makes a lot of sense because he is kind of controlling and he is very organized.
And
Yeah.
Mars in there, he's like
Yeah.
a really organized monster as well. So like the monster
Yes.
parts of him are also
Yes.
that way. And that would be
Yes.
right.
Yes, and Mars is also controlling and passionate and aggressive
Shitty
and
boyfriend material.
shitty boyfriend, a stalker, front and center because it's the first house. That is who he is. Quite toxic. Yeah. So. This is why we settled on this birth time. Feel free to argue with me about that in the comments. I'm happy to have those conversations. But for
I
now,
would love to make you and Chris talk about Twilight more. That would
oh,
be a yes for me.
he would be so happy about that.
Even have strong feelings about Twilight myself. I should like come out and say that because like it's not like I'm a huge Twilight fan. I just think this is funny.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. It is funny, but also Twilight in itself is annoying. But oh, I'm gonna get hate comments for that one. Fight me. I don't care.
I think it's having like a resurgence with like younger audiences as being like, but for the right reasons, right?
Yeah.
Because like, oh, it's super camp and stupid, which
Yes, it
yeah,
is.
it is.
Agreed.
But
It
it
is.
was taken very seriously the first time around.
Yeah, yes. Oh my God. And yeah, I actually read all of the books out of peer pressure. I just want
The books too, like,
to.
which is funny because I didn't really read fiction. I wasn't really reading fiction at that time, but I did read them all, so.
I did. Yeah. Some people can spend a ridiculous amount of time on describing someone's cheekbones, is what I learned from
There's
that.
bad fashion choices in there too. You can so tell she's Mormon because she's like, oh, she like her. Here's this like slapping outfit she was wearing, and it's like a floor length khaki skirt, right? I'm like, what? Like, okay,
Even
so
remember that
when
one.
he is, so I also, I was around some Mormons when I was, and I married somebody that also died.
Of course.
An excommunicated Mormon, so I had a bunch of Mormon family. So Mormon stuff like sticks out to me. But so in the scene, I think this is right. I think in like so the scene that she dreamt of that made her write the whole book was like the sparkly scene where he's like, this is the skin of a killer bell. Like that whole part. But in that, like what she thought would be like a super sexy thing to have him wear was a white button-up sleeveless shirt.
Ew.
So this is all of it's really super
Why?
Mormon. Because even at the time, that was not, I mean, it's not like that was ever in style, is what I meant.
No.
Right. So that was only in style to like Mormons
Yeah.
at that time and nobody else. So
Yeah.
anyway, back to our regular scheduled nonsense.
This is a tangent. Okay. So, can you repeat what your actual question about Edward Cullen's
Oh shit,
chart
yeah, sorry. So my
was? Because I forgot.
actual so my actual question was to see if we could see not only that he died when he died, which was sometime in autumn of 1918, but also if we could see, like, oh, this suggests that he was turned into a vampire. And then also, sub thing, we should find this Pattinson asteroid.
Yeah. Okay.
See?
First of all, let's put a transit by wheel and then check for his death.
I'm kind of hoping something about the asteroid, the Pattinson asteroid, will like show how Rob Pattinson like hates Edward.
I
It'll probably like
mean,
be in Gemini or something.
I enjoy the interviews that Robert Pattinson gives immensely, because there's just so much
Just clear buff.
clear, like he despises that
He calls
character.
Stephanie Meyer crazy so many times in
Yeah.
like interviews about that. That's pretty funny.
Yeah, I enjoy that. Okay, so we don't have an exact date of death. We just have an idea that it happened around autumn 1918. So let's have a look. What's going on here? So for end of life stuff, I look at the 12th house because it's literally the ending of a circle. So first of all, he had Saturn transiting through that during that time, which doesn't e immediately scream death, obviously, because we that is not enough to go on, but it's a first interesting hint. Again, Saturn is like everything that is hard and that we have to overcome and that is strict and sort of limiting.
Who role rules like that kind of illness? Long-term illness.
Oh, that is a good question. I'd have to check to be absolutely sure. Because also, so every planet rules a certain body part, right? And also, some ailments and illnesses that are obviously always connected to the body part that that planet rules. So and I keep forgetting those, so I'd actually have to check. Also, the moon is about to end a cycle, which again is not enough to go on
That happens all the time.
just
People
by itself, because yeah,
try.
that happened, that literally happens every month, right? Because the moon moves very fast around a zodiac, but also there's not going to be a single placement that's going to be like, oh, this is death, right? There's always going to be a combination, so which is why.
Tropos must be doing something, though.
Yeah, I'm gonna check Atropos in a second. Atropos is the fate that actually cuts the string of life. Again, out of mythology. Let me see if I can see anything. Anything else interesting? The sun is in an opposition with transiting Chiron. That's also sort of interesting. And like the sun is in his second, and Chiron is in his eighth house, which is the house of death. Yeah. Okay, let's see where Atropos is. Let's find her real quick. That is her.
That's her, right?
So down her in her th down there in her third, but also she is in a really close conjunction with Mars down here, and Mars is, among other things, violence. So that could be considered a violent death, being turned into a vampire.
Sure.
Right.
I think, especially in that world,
Yeah.
I think it's incredibly painful in that
Yeah.
mythology.
Yeah. And also, these two are like right next to his IC, and the IC is the lowest part of the chart and could be considered like the low point if we talk about transits, right? And after that, things get lighter because things move towards the surface again. So yeah, death being a low point, and then you're turned into a vampire and things move toward the light, toward their surface. Again, also makes sense to me. Yeah, also Atropos has a trine to his Chiron in his eighth house, so that was obviously also a traumatic event. Yeah, this situation is interesting with what you said about the mother talking to what's his name?
Carlisle.
Carlisle, thank you. Right, because so he has transiting Vesta in his 11th house, sitting right on top of his natal Mercury. Vesta definitely being, to a certain degree, a motherly influence. So there's some communication going on here, some deal making maybe. It's also all going on in his 11th house and in Cancer. Cancer being, again, a very motherly sign, 11th house being the house of community.
Also,
So,
that's a broody sign, and they're a broody coven of like vegetarian vampires.
Yes,
Oh.
indeed. And very emotional and very not just broody, also moody.
Totally.
Is Cancer. This makes it sound like I don't like Cancers. I actually like Cancers quite a lot. I'm a Pisces, so I get along with Cancers.
Fair.
But in this particular constellation.
So do we think this is this date, October 1st?
No, I would actually move it forward and see if we can get a date where Atropos is actually conjunct Mars. Let's see if we can get there because Mars moves quite fast and Atropos is quite slow. That's probably the closest they're gonna get, which is like a degree apart. So that is around September 30th is where I would
But
place.
then the mom, I do know that his mother died before him, right? Because that was her dying wish. So like that conversation can still be seen in this chart and like all
Yes,
stuff.
the conversation is still there. The trauma with Chiron is still there.
So can you see like the and changed into a vampire?
I mean, to a certain degree, with Pluto in his 10th house, that's already sort of implied, but obviously that's not something I would see in an attract that
You're not
having.
gonna tell a client like you're
No, like that
a
doesn't mean every single person that has Pluto in their 10th house is gonna be made a vampire.
Right, you got to work with me here, babe. Listen. So, Lilith is considered a vampire asteroid, right?
Yes.
Okay,
Yes.
so what's she doing?
So the Lilith asteroid.
So not
So
Dark Moon Lilith.
yes, Lilith is complicated because there's several things in the sky that we call Lilith. I am not talking about Black Moon Lilith right now. I'm talking about the asteroid that is called Lilith. She is sitting in his first house right on top of his natal Mars. So that is very like vampire-y energy. Let me see real quick where she is natally. Is she this one up here? No, that was Atropos. Okay. There she is. So natally, she's in his 12th house. So obviously that's hiding. 12th house is all the secrets we keep And yeah, that is a big secret he's keeping, that he's a vampire. So that also makes sense.
Right. Okay.
And also it's conjunct his natal Vesta. So that is the thing that can come out when I'm in my home. Vesta is the asteroid of the Hoth and home. So this is where I'm safe. This is where I can be my vampire-y self.
Can I say one thing about his natal Atropos?
Yes.
So if in his natal chart that's in his ninth house, then that would kind of loosely mean that death is a great long-term journey for him, right?
That's really accurate. Yeah.
Which obviously there's like lots of ways that can play out,
And
but would make sense for a vampire.
also Atropos, his natal Atropos, is conjunct his south node, and we've talked about the south node before in your previous question. The south node represents our
And he's
past
like, I'm
life.
leaving death behind.
Yes. Yeah. So that is really funny. Do you
Okay.
want to check the patterns in
I deeply want
asteroid now?
to
Okay.
yeah.
Let's find, is it just called Pat
I think
Pattinson?
it's just called Pattinson.
Okay.
I didn't like look for its number or anything.
No, I should be able to find it just through the name. Yeah, there it is.
Also in his ninth house,
Yeah,
right?
it's in his ninth house in Taurus. Let's see what it looks like. So there it is. So now we've did we say in the public version yet that there was an asteroid named after Robert Pattinson? It is called Pattinson, and we just put it into the chart. And in Edward Cullen's natal chart, the asteroid called Pattinson is in his ninth house. Ninth house is the house of like other cultures, is particularly funny to me in that right, like because Robert Pattinson has such disregard for the character that is Edward Cullen. So that is funny. Let me remove the transits from.
But also this trine with Jupiter, I feel like would make sense too because that was like really an expand, like as much as his interviews are super funny because he's like the story is cracked, the author is like a Looney Tunes, whatever, that was still a really like expansive point in his career.
Yeah, absolutely. And I feel like that's part of the reason why he has such disregard for the character, such despise even, because yeah, it made him big, it made him famous, it made him really successful, but also he just hates the character. That is really, really funny. To me. And also like it's opposite Black Moon Lilith, which natally is in Edward Cullen's third house. She's also retrograde and she's in Scorpio. So that is incredibly dark and broody and vengeful, and but all of it is internalized, so all of it is turned against himself. And that is a particular part that apparently Robert Pattinson hates, which that's a mood.
That tracks, but also wouldn't that make sense to read that also as like the character of Edward or like the being of Edward fighting against this like human that's playing him
Yeah, absolutely.
as
They're
well?
in opposition, and like I've said that I think in the first episode, like there's like the opposition is the tug of war or the seesaw. So like yeah, they're definitely fighting and not getting along with that particular aspect of Edward Cullen's personality.
Sweet.
So
All right.
Does this answer your questions? Awesome. Okay.
So
That was fun.
that was a lot. Yeah, next time I'll pick an ex like a less obnoxious. I mean, not that I'm gonna about fictional characters every time, but like next time I happen to have a question about a fictional character, I will maybe have it not be about Twilight so that.
I mean, I enjoyed that. That was fun. I feel very validated actually in my annoyance with Edward Cullen, the character. I'm annoyed with his fucking birth chart, so.
Oh, I mean, we won't go into it now, but I bet that his sinistry chart with Bella is just like a train wreck.
Oh yeah.
It must be like
You
abusive.
should write that down as a question for a future
For later.
episode.
So, okay.
Do you have another
I
question?
do have a third question. This is
Okay.
also completely different.
Okay.
So this is actually like a fashion question. So I guess it's like kind of art related because it is fashion.
Okay.
This one is about how my personal like fashion that I love for myself, not necessarily on like what I need to see or need to see in others. I don't have any fashion that I need to see in others. That was a weird way to say that. But like my ideal fashion for myself is exactly 50% stuck in the 90s. That's when I came of age, which is a pretty normal thing, I think, to like, whatever. I was a riot girl in the 90s. I really held on to a lot of the riot girl aesthetic. So I have like 50% that. But then the other 50% is like late Victorian, early Edwardian nonsense. Right. And so I was curious if we could find that in my chart, like why I do that in my chart. And
That's it.
one thing that I thought that we might look at is Perry, who is an ancestor of mine who died in the Edwardian era. But
Okay.
it's around a lot. He has an asteroid.
Oh, okay.
So maybe I don't know if that's helpful or not, but it did come to me when I was like thinking of the question.
We'll see. Let's open up your chart. Okay, so first of all, a fashion sense, I would put in the first house because it's to do with how we look, how we present to the outside world. That is all first house stuff. So your first house being in Libra is like that tracks with you being like very artsy and how you present and yeah, all the stuff you said about the Riot Girl era and like holding on to that, and because that's where you grew up in. That tracks. That is a very Libra thing. You probably find comfort to a certain degree in that too. So yeah, that makes sense. Also, the moon is there, so it also makes sense that you are very, very moody in a sense when it comes to fashion, so that like it changes around and like you don't stick to the same thing, but you have like a few things that you do fashion wise because the moon is very fast moving, very changeable. It might actually be connected to the phases of the moon. It doesn't have to be though, like what kind of fashion sense you go with on that particular day. You also have Pluto in your first house. Pluto likes to overthrow things, so if it doesn't fit you anymore, out with it, right? So that can also be applied to your fashion sense. Yeah, and then also this opposition to your seventh house son. Again, it's a constant back and forth, a constant the sun in Aries in seventh house is even more Riot Girl, interestingly enough, because
Oh, okay.
it's like very passionate, very like sort of rebellious and like loud,
Yeah.
fiery, right? Is the Aries vibe, right?
Yeah.
And Pluto could also obviously be interpreted as like a fashion sense that is from the past that has died. All right. So yeah, this is one of those things that none of these things I would say to you if I didn't know you,
Sure. Yeah.
right?
Yeah.
But you asking that question, that very specific one, then yeah, I can sort of see that.
Let's see it. I don't have it today because I was too lazy, but like, I think a really good example. So if people are like going, what does that style even look like? Then like a good example of it is I really like to put my hair in like the Gibson Girl thing. So it's like up and like, you
That's
can do both.
sort of how you had your hair
Yeah.
last time, right?
Oh yeah, I guess it is.
Yeah.
But then I also have like an undercut all the way around.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
And I
Yeah.
like my Gibson Girl hair to show my underground my undercut. And right now it's fluorescent green.
Yeah.
Oh,
Yeah.
okay, cool. Well, let's see where Harry is.
Let's see. I think I had him in your chart before. I think I checked that
We've
before.
definitely looked before, I just don't remember.
Okay, do you have what's the exact name or do you have the number of the
Well,
asteroid?
you're just not in the.
Oh yeah, I'm not in the asteroid. Smart. Oh, see, there he is. Do 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 do. Okay, so yeah, your ancestor Perry has an asteroid that was not actually named after your ancestor, but
No.
there is an asteroid
Also,
with this. Yeah.
this is, well, I was just gonna say that it's kind of if like if you have if you know somebody whose first name has an asteroid, you can find out really interesting stuff
Oh yeah,
about your
absolutely.
relationship with them by looking at the asteroid. And it tends to track, even though obviously your person isn't the reason that the asteroid's named that.
Yeah, obviously. Yeah, that is true.
Worth saying.
So Perry, the asteroid is in your third house. Third house is the one of basically communication, among other things. So that makes sense because you talk to Perry a lot
Yeah.
still, even though he's your ancestor and he's dead, but he's still like an important person.
Yeah.
So he has a sextile to the asteroid Lilith that is also in your first house. So again, we have this, the asteroid Lilith is very Riot Girl energy, but then the asteroid Perry is very Edwardian fashion
Yeah.
energy.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's both. Like
Okay.
the Riot Girl is a little more prominent, but then the Edwardian like gives a little like input into that, right?
Sure. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Does that answer your question?
Yeah.
Awesome. Okay. Was that all the question you had, questions, plural,
That
you
was all
had?
the questions that I have. I feel like I
Awesome.
spent that entire episode going like this because I was like trying to look in under bifocals because I am not young. What is
Not
the point of that?
that
But
old.
yeah, I think that was good. Thank you. What
You
did
are.
you think about my questions?
I enjoy them. They were very lighthearted, all of them,
Yeah.
this time, I feel like.
ones this time. I mean,
Yeah, so.
there was some trauma in the first one.
Yeah.
Not
Yeah.
hardcore trauma.
Yeah.
I mean, hardcore trauma, but we didn't talk about it in a hardcore way.
Yeah. Yeah, true. But the question itself was more lighthearted, I feel like. So yeah, I enjoy that. I enjoy the silly kind of questions, and yeah, obviously none of this we take super seriously. So I'm super curious to see what people think of this kind of astrology. Whether or not people want to debate me on how I rectified Edward Cullen's chart.
Hope they do, just because I would love to hear like any kind of debate.
Yeah. So let us know in the comments wherever you see or listen to this. If you have the ability to leave comments, please tell us what are your thoughts. Please debate me on my rectifying Edward Cullen's chart. Yeah, and then I guess we will see and hear you next time. Okay,
Okay.
bye.
Bye.